trumpet of Moses in the Purim. You are head of fear that David's in the slain. You are head the story told of King and Joseph and of Jonah in the wilderness. There are many, many brothers through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. My mind, surely let us meet them. I believe in it. There is going, there is going. By and by, oh, I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Oh, that singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, to be glorious I do declare. Oh, and God's own sound will be the leading one of the meeting in the end. Many things will there be missing in that meeting, for the morning's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners. Oh, for the sinners I'd refuse to hear a call. Oh, there will be no mourning over your loved one. There will be no lonely night pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted in the meeting. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. The sweet, sweet by and by and by, I'm going to meet you over there in that room beyond this. Oh, beyond the skies, I'm singing you will hear, never heard by most of you, to be glorious I do declare. And God's own sound will be the leading one. Oh, my loving brother, when the field's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in that book of faith, book of faith, there for me. Oh, the judgment day is coming, Lord, I know for me. Be Christ forever is my refuge, rock of ages, there for me. Oh, my loving brother, oh, what a wisdom. Oh, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Oh, hide me over, oh, in that room, oh, rock of ages, there for me. At the sounding of the trumpet, at the coming of the day, oh, the prison with the treasure shall forever pass away. Oh, my loving, my loving, oh, and the world, oh, the wondrous bosom, oh, to be your pillow, hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, oh, clear for me. The poor sinner will be crying for the wound they'll never see, but the ransom will be singing. Rock of faith, live for me, oh, my God.
is on fire.
Oh, don't you want good? Oh, to be a pillow, find me a way. Oh, in that broken faces, oh, for confession, live for me, oh, my darling, oh, my darling. Oh, and the world's on fire. Don't you want good girls no more to be a pillow? Rock of ages, live for me. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God. Amen. Amen. We have some testimonies and things we sang today. Amen. So we'll start with our testimony from Sister Deidre. So yes, Sister Deidre, come forward. Amen. As we have a seat. We can sing Hallelujah, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hosanna, Hosanna.
I don't know whether or not this microphone's working all right, but I'm sure it is. Well, as you know, Saints, Brian and I have just come back from America, and we were visiting with Stephen and Monica down there in Tucson and the new baby, and that in itself is a wonderful testimony of how a couple could be married for well over 14 years, and my daughter-in-law was never supposed to have children. And my son always said that it would never be by any artificial means of any kind. It had to be the hand of God. Amen. And a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event. Amen. When the baby was born. Amen. And such a lovely baby. Amen. And God has certainly got his hand upon him. Amen. That in itself is a wonderful testimony. And when we were there, we went up to see the Grand Canyon. We really went over to see the baby. I'd never seen him since in the flesh since he was born, but God made a way for us to go. And we went to see the Grand Canyon when we were there because Brian had never seen it. And, you know, the Bible says that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. So we didn't know what God had in it. We just thought it was a trip that we were going to see the Grand Canyon for Brian's sake. We went up there and it was working out very expensive because we were sort of footing the bill for the hotels and everything while we were up in that area in the northern Arizona. But on the Friday night, we were looking at our funds and we decided that the funds were getting very stretched. And we were all sitting in the hotel room talking as a family, all one to one. And this was Friday night, and we said, oh, our funds are really getting stretched. Now what will we do? Will we go back to Tucson? Or whether will we stay up in this area? What will we do? And Stephen, being a man of God, he just said, Mom, we'll not say that we'll do anything, but we will pray about it and see what way God leads. Amen. He said, because I had a desire to meet with the saints in Pine Tops, which is just outside Shiloh, on Sunday morning. But he said, I'll contact Brother Freddie Hatfield and see what he says. So Saturday came. We did pray about whether or not what God wanted us to do. Saturday came and Stephen never mentioned it. And Sunday, we just got ready for church. And I thought the church was just down round the corner from the way they were speaking. But you know, American down round the corner could be 20 miles away. But anyway, we all got ready for church on Sunday morning as Sunday had arrived. And we went to church. And the first part of it was that Brother Freddie Hatfield wasn't there. And he had a man stand in for him that did the preaching. And the man that did the preaching was Scott Batman. Well, was he ever on fire for God? He was preaching, but more or less giving a testimony, his personal testimony of how he had been filled with the Holy Ghost and how he knew God indwelt him and how he knew that by the power of God in the name of Jesus that many things were possible. And it was a wonderful, wonderful service. I don't know whether the service would have been any better with Brother Freddie Hatfield there, but it was something else. It was just wonderful. And it was bringing very much home to all of us as we were sitting there before him about the power of God. And Brian, he stood up and he sung the old rugged cross. And you know, that itself is a testimony. Oh, God, he's so wonderful, isn't our God so wonderful? But he got up and he sung the old rugged cross. And then Monica sung a song. She sung about, I'll say what Jesus says about me, taking it from his word. And that was all very, very wonderful. It was a very blessed service. Anyway, we all left the front of the building after the service, after we had a time of fellowship, even outside the building. It was just one of those services where you didn't want to leave. Everybody was feeling the power of God on them. And we left the front of the building and we went to a restaurant, the whole church together. We all went to a restaurant to eat. And I do know, hope I'm not boring the socks of everybody here, but I just get so tickled in my spirit when I see the things of God. Anyway, there's a little lady sitting beside me. While I've been talking with a woman, I've been giving them the testimony of the horse, and you know, all know about that. I'm giving them several other testimonies of things that God had done in my own personal life. I'm sitting there talking with this wee woman. I'd never met her in my life before, but I could see she was in her late 70s. And while we were sitting there talking, she just said to me, "Deirdre, would you pray for my ear?" And I said, "Oh, certainly, sister, I'll pray for your ear." Now, all the other sisters were sitting talking all around the table about different things, but her and I were talking about the wonderful things of God. Lovely old lady. She says, "Would you pray for my ear?" I could see she had a wee something on the outside of her ear. I knew it wasn't a decoration. I could see it was like something that medically was put there. So I said, "Certainly, sister, I'll pray for your ear." So I put my hand in her ear, and I just prayed for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just finished the prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just the other day, the postman dropped a wee card in through my door. And I went and I lifted it, opened it. I've been going through a wee bit and ups and downs in my own life at the minute. Nothing major, nothing to do with Brian, but just something that I need the hand of God to help me with. And so I just believe that this that dropped through my door the other day was just so timely. Just God. It's just all God. If you've got the Holy Spirit and you're walking in the light of this age, you can expect to see God everywhere. You can expect to see him in every day of your life. And when you're going down, when you're down in the valley, you can expect to see God lift you up. You can really expect that. And if you're sitting in the valley at this minute in time about anything, God's going to lift you up. Amen. And he's going to lift you higher than what you expected to go. Amen. And there's no problem too big for Jesus. Right. He can solve anything. He can do anything. Oh, I've seen his power over the years. I've seen his power in this last year so much. But I opened this card, and this was from a woman that I'd only ever met once in my life before. And I'll read it to you. I'll read you the letter she put inside it. Now, who's willing to see the hand of God? Amen. Who wants to see the hand of God? Amen. Right, I'll read you this letter. "Dear Sister Deirdre, sorry I haven't written before now to say how very much I enjoyed meeting you and your family. But most of all, I want to thank you for your prayer for my ear. It is all healed up of cancer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's only her letter, that's part of her letter that she wrote to me. Amen. And then the card. The card says, "Dear Deirdre," and she's underlined, this is in the card, obviously. She's just bought off the shelf in America. But it says, "Dear Deirdre, it's so good to know warm, considerate people who try to help others and all they do, people whose lives show the meaning of God's love. It's so good to know a wonderful person like you." Well, let me say, I'm only a tool in the hands of God. I'm not a wonderful person, but God's a wonderful person. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's a wonderful testimony. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing In the Sweet By and By as we ask. Brother Mike and the family wants to sing a song. So, amen.
The land that is fairer than the old, by faith we can see it afloat. Oh, the Father. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. You want to sing to the glory of the Lord? You want to sing Father Along? But if you give it as Father Along, please. Before that, I want to give a short testimony. I laid a request before the Lord some time ago, and I was expecting an answer in my own time frame. I give the Lord my plans, and the Lord never answered my prayers. And I knew that the Lord works in his own way. I was having problems with some of my subjects in school. We were about to write our final exams, and some of the subjects, since the very first day that we started the course, I never understood it. I failed my test, class test and other stuff. And I was really shivering. We were about a week to the exams time, and I was telling the Lord, "Lord, I don't want to fail these exams. Please come down." I was expecting him to just move on and just open my understanding to the course, and he never did. Until a day to the exams, I understood certain parts of the course. And when we went into the exams and the results came in, I had distinction. So I thanked the Lord. And we were to do work experience after this semester. It's part of the course. It's very important. If you don't do it, you fail the whole course. And they invited these companies, IT companies, to come over to the school to have interview with us so that we can have some job with them. And I did a lot of interviews. After that, I went ahead and followed some companies up. I never got any job. I continued applying for jobs after jobs after jobs till I got tired. So I just stopped. The work experience program started, and I was still at home. And I was just praying to the Lord, "Father, if you could just lift up your hands, please." And there is this this justice ministry, the Department of Justice, they came over to have an interview with some of the students. But they set up a criteria
that a skill that you should have before they can pick you up. And I had no skill at all according to their criteria. So I didn't even apply. And after their interview, they took some four guys and they started work with them. So I was just praying to the Lord. One of the guys dropped out and he was replaced. So I thought of maybe sending a mail to the IT manager to see if a chance would be open to me. And I did. And I told him that I'm aware that one person is contemplating coming off the program. So he just wrote back and said, how did I know? Because this has to be very classified. I shouldn't know about people's, you know, internal affairs. So I was really scared. And I replied the message. I said, well, the guy told me himself that he's got some traffic offense. With the Department of Justice, you shouldn't have any conviction at all. If you have any conviction, you're automatically out. So the guy told me that he had a traffic offense some time ago, and he's scared that they might let him go. So I just sent him this email, and he didn't reply. So I just forgot. A week passed. I was there when he just called me. He said, look, send me your name, your date of birth, and all your addresses that you have lived for the past 5 years. I did, and then in the next hour, he just asked me to come in. So by God's grace, I'm working with the Department of Justice for now. I thank the Lord. And we were also having a housing issue. Some of the brothers know about these few days when my landlord wanted us of the house. And you know how when you are on a rent allowance, the government is helping you to pay for the rent. It's virtually impossible nowadays to get a house or a landlord to accept a rent supplement. We should have left the house last December. So we never had a house. We were frantically looking for houses. So the landlord has to take us to court. I have to go to court with Brian Maxwell and his wife because the landlord accused us that we are holding a house up. So I went to Brother Pele's house some time ago, somewhere last month. And as I was coming, I decided to pass over and see one brother who was with us here, but he left. It's a long time I saw this brother. So somebody said, pass by and say hello to him. So I just decided to pass by his house. And when I went, he was there with another brother who has also left. We started talking about the economy and the housing issues. And I told them, I'm even facing a housing problem now. I can't even get a rent allowance house. Then the brother said, well, my next door neighbor is leaving. The house will be available in July. If you want, I will speak to my landlord. I said, please do. I really, really need a house. Because if we don't, our stuff will be thrown out of the house. So the next day he called me and said, the landlord has accepted it, so I have a house now. So I thank the Lord. And I want to say this to encourage the brothers. If you have got a request before the Lord, if you have prayed and the prayer is not coming, if you have prayed and the answer is not coming, just keep on praying. Keep on believing the Lord. He will surely come in his own time. Amen. You want to sing Father Along?
Father. We know all about it. Father alone, we understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We understand it. All by and by. Tempted and tried, we oft made to wonder why it should be thus. How did they long? Why there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong.
Alleluia, Father alone, we know all about it. Father alone, we understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We understand it all
by and by.
When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves a home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year?
Hallelujah,
Father, I about it.
Father,
allow me understand
why.
Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We understand it all by and by.
Till death said our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road then seems leave us nothing as we sweep through beautiful
game. Hallelujah.
Father, along we know all about it. Father, along we understand why. Cheer up, my brother, living the sunshine. We understand it all by and by.
When we see Jesus come in his glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We understand it all by and by.
Father, along we know all about it. Father, along we understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We understand it all by and by.
Oh, hallelujah.
Father, along we know all about it. Father, along we understand why.
Cheer up,
my brother, live in the sunshine. We understand it all by and by.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing the love of God as we take our offering. Let's stand as we sing. Amen.
The love of God is greater far than
song to can ever do. It goes beyond, oh, the highest high and riches to the lowest of the guilty. God gave His Son to win. Is there in time? Is there in time? Here He comes. Oh, and pardon through His name. The love of God, oh, love of God, our return. How merciless, how merciful, oh, and strong. Oh, it shall fall, it shall forevermore, and you, oh, the saint, and oh.
Except for servanthood, amen, slavery, but it's God's love that sets us free. And really, I really do believe that. You know, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, it's the love of God that makes a difference. His love is so pure. Really appreciate the testimony of the sister, and it's really applicable. Sister Lydia is asking for prayer for her teacher's husband, Michael. He's been diagnosed with cancer recently. He's originally from Banbridge in Northern Ireland. So as we come to pray, let's remember this man, Michael, that the same one who touched that lady's ear would be the same one who would visit this man, Michael. And Brother Max Jr. wants to thank the Lord for grace in his exams. He was able to pass. Amen. Congratulations for that, Brian. And also really a warm welcome to our visitors today. We have Joel from Malawi. He's a friend of Brother Kwame. God bless you, Brother Joel. Nice to have you with us. Faith, a friend of Sister Dion, somewhere there. And also Brother Nato from Brazil. God bless you, Brother. Nice to have you with us. Let's sing one more song. Let's come to a time of prayer. We're really glad today we have Brother Tommy McKinstry with us. To those who are new, haven't been here before, Brother Tom's been a blessing to us over the years. Amen. We really want him to take his liberty today. We went out on Friday evening, quite a number of saints, round and about the neighborhood, speaking to people, giving out leaflets, trying to just sow the seed, and just inviting people to come along. And we had quite a good response. Maybe some people who can't come this week. Met one young man, spoke to him. He said, "Which church are you from?" I said, "We're from Dublin Christian Fellowship." He said, "Oh, my cousin Shanaz goes there." His name was Dale, I think. Is it? I don't know who it is. My cousin Shanaz goes there. So I said, "Oh, wonderful." So Shida knows it. So it was really good. He said, "Ah, he couldn't come this week, but he'll come next week." So keep that in prayer. But to the people that are here, visitors today, may the Lord bless you as we get into the word. Let's sing one more song, and let's put this request before the Lord for this man, Michael.
Seated on your throne of grace, it's only by your mercies we are saved. Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name, God Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. Lord knows I know, Lord knows.
Jesus Christ.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we cry out thy name upon this day. For Lord, it's such a wonderful thing to do. Father, your word has said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father, we're so glad that inside of us, Lord, you spoke one day. And Father, there was something in us that cried out unto you. And Father, we're so glad for your response to any soul that cries out unto you. So Father, we cry out once again today on behalf of this man, Michael. Father, we've never met this man. We know him not. But Father, we feel for this man. Amen. Father, he's off, Lord. Father, he's a son of Adam, Lord. He's in this fallen race, Lord, Adam's fallen race. And Father, he needs your grace and he needs your mercy. Father, I do not know where he is. I do not know the circumstances of his life. But Father, you know all things about this man. And all we can do upon this day is come unto thee. Even as you healed that sister, Lord, just so simply on her ear of that cancer. Lord, we just come unto thee once again. And we ask of you, Lord, that you would draw nigh unto this man. Father, speak unto his soul. Father, say unto his soul that you are his redeemer. Reveal yourself, Lord, that you paid the price for his sin, and that by your stripes he was healed. Visit him, Lord. We ask and pray, Lord. Father, draw nigh even now. Speak unto him, Lord. Father, Lord, may they be the Father, may you bless people and lead them to bring them, Father, to bring glad tidings unto this man, Lord. And may thine unction and thine anointing be upon your word. And Father, may your grace be upon him upon this day, we pray. And Father, as we gather in this house, Lord, if there's anybody here that needs to call upon the name upon this day for whatsoever it would be, Father, even as the preaching of the word would go forth, amen. Father, may your voice be declared upon this day. May you be the voice behind the voice. May you speak unto every soul. Father, may you help us to shut ourselves in with thee upon this day, to lay aside, Lord, Father, the thoughts and the activities of this life, and Father, bring us into that place, Lord, that atmosphere with you inside of our souls, Lord, that we'd see Jesus upon this day, and that we'd see Jesus only. And may you speak unto us, Lord, minister to the needs that your people have. Father, let the same virtue that flowed from that garment of thine 2,000 years ago, let that virtue be in your word upon this day. And Father, may that same virtue, Lord, be available to everybody that would reach out upon this day, and those that are seeking deliverance, Lord, from the oppression of the enemy, Lord, from whatever deeds of darkness there may be that we desire to work inside of their lives, Lord. Won't you energize the souls of your people upon this day, that Father, your people may cry out unto thee, Lord, that Father, the souls of people, Lord, may seek thee upon this day, because there's never been a soul that cried out unto you that you didn't respond to, Lord. And Father, we're so glad for that, Lord. May your hand be upon Brother Tom as he bring the word, lead him and guide him, Lord. Father, bless the ministration, Lord, of your word upon this day. Let it be the ministration of life unto life would be our desire, Lord. And may the preaching of the word cast out demons upon this day, we'd ask, Lord. And Father, may you stretch forth your hand to heal would be our desire. For you said these signs shall follow them that believe. And Father, your people have gathered, we're believing upon this day. May you bless, Father, even as you've blessed our brother, Lord, in leading the songs, the musicians, we appreciate them. May you bless them. Bless this offering, we pray, the time and the offerings, Lord. Father, according to your word, bless the people that have so freely given, Lord, and the visitors in our gates who do pray for each and every one of them, Lord, that Father, you would draw nigh unto them and may they feel at home in the presence of the Lord upon this day. And as we'd come to the end of the service, may we say it was good to be in the house of the Lord, and may your name be lifted up. Father, we're dedicating all things into your hands. Be glorified this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We hand over to Brother Tom. Amen.
Where he will lead me, I will go.
Moving on through the mean soul, thy divine mercy is for now.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless each and every one. And it's really good to be gathered in the name of the Lord. And I give everyone greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. Since I was last here, I've been in Wales again, in Norway. And the Lord's been working And everywhere you go, people's different. You know, when I go to Africa, there's lots of dancing. There was no dancing in Norway, but there were still good meetings. There's a different culture, it's a different type of people, but the Lord's everywhere.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to the Word of God till Matthew chapter 7. And let's read verse 13 and verse 14 of Matthew chapter 7. And I want for a while today to, you know, I have so many messages you can preach. And I really felt led to preach this morning. And we just trust the Lord will help us. Verse 13 of Matthew 7. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We could just bow again for a word of prayer. Our Father and our eternal God, we bow before Thee this evening, this morning, in the name that Thou hast set far above every name,
Amen.
The name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we come from Thy footstool, we come into Thy throne room, and we come into Thy presence, pleading the merits of Thy precious blood.
Amen.
And Lord, we take charge and we take authority over every foul spirit and over every demon and over every demonic force, and we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask for the liberty and the freedom of the Spirit and the move of God this morning. And we pray that Thou will touch every heart and every life.
Amen.
And change situations and circumstances and get Thyself all the praise and all the glory.
Yes,
Lord, anoint the lips of clay that we may hear thus and thus saith the Lord. Anoint the ears, Lord, as well, and touch the hearts today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we leave different than when we came in, because we have met afresh with You. Father, we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise God. I want this morning to take a text from this reading, and this is a very simple reading and a very familiar reading, that there is two ways. And there's two ways. There's man's way and there's God's way. And we know that man's way is an imagination and God's way is a revelation. And man's way is a way of death and a way of destruction, but God's way is a way of life and a way of blessing. And we've been given, everyone, a free choice. So we can have man's way or we can have God's way. And I want us to notice in this text that there is two gates. And also in this text there's two ways. And also in this text there's two companies. And also in this text there's two ends. So there is two gates, there's two ways, there's two companies, and there's two ends. And either you're on God's way or you're on man's way, or either you've went through God's gate or you've went through another gate. And either you're in the company with God's people or you're else. You're in the company with some other people which not God's people. Now, Brother Branham says in a message called Moses 1950, there's two ways. That's your way and God's way. And when you're in your way, you're out of God's way. And you have to forget your own way to find God's way. And man cannot lead himself. So if you want God's way, you have to leave your own way. And if you want God's way, you have to forget your own way. Because the Bible says that our ways are not God's ways. As the heavens is higher than the earth, so is the Lord's ways higher and better than our ways and His thoughts. So we must acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. There is ways all of us would like to go, but it might not be God's way. And we cannot go in ourselves. We must be led, because sheep have a shepherd. And the shepherd does not drive the sheep with a stick. The shepherd leads the sheep.
And the sheep will follow the shepherd because the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And Jesus says, I am the shepherd of the fold, and my sheep will follow me. And even though you could be here today and maybe you're a sheep, but you're a sheep that's went astray. And you've left God's way, and you've left God's fold, and you've left God's company, and you've went your own way. But the Holy Spirit is here today to call you back to the fold and back to the Lord. Because the Bible says He's ever married to the backslider. I mean, know that the Lord said He would leave the 99 and go just for the one. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, John 3 verse 16, that God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this morning God loves you and God loves me, and because God loves you and because God loves me, He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you and to die for me. And He gave His life for ransom for many. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you're without God, you're lost because you're Christless. And if you're without God, you're homeless because if you have no friend like the friend of Jesus. You know, your friends in this world will all leave you. They'll all let you down. They'll all fail you. But Jesus Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. He'll never let you down. He'll never fail you. As a sister testified, there's no one can do for you like Jesus can do for you. And Jesus is the one that can meet every need. And Jesus is the one that knows the secrets of the heart. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you were last night, last week. He knows everything about you. And He cares for you. And He loves you. And He wants to lead you. He wants to give up your own way. And He wants you to come His way. The first thing I want us to see is the way into life. And what does this life mean? John 3 verse 36 tells us. John chapter 3 verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. John 3 36. So we see this life. The life that Jesus presents to you is eternal life. The life that Jesus presents to you is His own life. Zoe, God's own life. And Him, if you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. You're existing. You're living for a while. You're living for a time. You're living, as it were, for a period. But you're actually dead. And the book of Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, you who were once dead. Some of us were the same. Some of us were once dead because we walked according to the course of this world. We were led by the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh, and that word means he energizes in the children of disobedience. Some of us were like that, but the Lord hath quickened us. He's birthed us. He's made us alive. And we're no more dead. We're living. We're living in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this life is a wonderful life. This gate here suggests the idea of a city, a place of safety, fellowship and plenty. The life which is in Christ is a life. First of all, it's a life of safety from sin. Without Jesus Christ, you have no safety from sin. Because without Jesus Christ, if you die, you're dying a sinner. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you die in your sin, the Bible says where God is, you cannot come. So the first thing you need is Jesus Christ because of your sin. And you need Him because of your sin. Because when you come to Jesus Christ, He will take your sin. He will remove your sin. He will forgive your sin. He will wash you in His blood. And your sins and your iniquities will He remember no more. So you need Him.
Amen.
You need Him because of your sin. And there's no one else. Joining church won't take away your sin. Being a good boy or a good girl won't take away your sin. And you need the Lord Jesus Christ because you need safety from the sin and the wrath of God. If you don't have Jesus, God's wrath is upon your life. And God's wrath is bringing a judgment in this whole world. This world is going to be judged. This world is going to go through a tribulation. A great tribulation. But those that's in Christ, those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, are going to be raptured. They're going to be taken off the face of this earth. They're going to go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But those that remain are facing a tribulation such as the world has never seen. A time of turmoil such as there'll be no war like it. There'll be no pain like it. There'll be no famine like it. There's nothing in your imagination can muster up in thoughts or in thinking of the destruction, of the decay, and of the judgment of God that's coming on this world. So you need safety from God's wrath. The other thought is, you need fellowship with God. Fellowship with man's okay, but your best friend can let you down. But the Lord Jesus will never let you down. The best we can do is not good enough, but Jesus Christ, He knew no sin. He had no sin. He's an absolutely perfect Son of God.
Amen.
And you need fellowship with Him. And fellowship with Him's real fellowship. Fellowship with Him's true fellowship. You can tell Him your every secret. You can share with Him your every trouble. And the Word of God said His ear is ever open to your cry. And we've heard the testimonies this morning when people have prayed that the Lord has answered. And the Bible says, if we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved.
Amen.
Psalms 50 verse 15, God's phone number, 5015.
Amen.
Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I shall deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Amen.
But you need to have fellowship with them. You need to come into this fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thought here is satisfaction in the fullness of God. But there must be a passing from death to life before you can have that satisfaction. You can only have that satisfaction if you pass from death to life. And for you to pass from death to life, you must be born again. Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Brother Branham, God's prophet, said the problem is people are not getting to Christ.
Amen.
They're not being birthed. They're not being born again.
Amen.
But when you're really born again, you're a new creature.
Amen.
You're no more the person you used to be. You're a new creature.
Amen.
You are birthed from the inside to the outside.
Amen.
It is a birth from the soul right to the outside.
Amen.
There'll be a change all over you. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things become new. And when you're born again, you're saved. You're saved from wrath. You're saved from sin. You're saved till heaven. He doesn't leave you in between. But the Word of God says He delivers us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. He doesn't redeem us with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. John 5 verse 24 tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life.
Amen.
So when you believe on Jesus Christ, this is so simple, a child can do it. And the Word of God says we must come as little children. And if we come as little children and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment we believe,
Amen.
The moment we believe, we can enter into eternal life. We don't hope for it by and by along the road. We don't hope for it by doing good works and joining church or signing our name on some book. But once we accept Him and believe Him, Amen. We are children of God. Amen. We have eternal life within us. That's right. And we shall never die. This flesh can die, but the soul within shall live on and on. Amen. Because you're born of God. I want to tell you that this way is an open way. God's way. God's way, sure, it's a straight way, but thank God it's an open way. The world's way is a broad way, and the world's way is a very broad way. But this way is a narrow way. It's a straight way, but thank God it's open. It's never closed. It's been open through 7 church ages, and it's still open today. And Jesus says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. It's an open way, maybe straight, but thank God it is open, it's not shut. Revelation 3 verse 8, Jesus says, behold, I've set before thee an open door. An open door. It's not by joining a church, it's not by joining an organization, but it's by a birth. It's by an experience of the Holy Ghost. It's by you coming to Jesus Christ. It's by you having an encounter with a supernatural being. And that supernatural being is a Son of God. Amen. He is that supernatural being. Right. His power is greater than any other power. He transcended 2 worlds. And He stepped from eternity into time. And He came and saved this sin-cursed world and this sin-cursed earth. It doesn't look like it this morning, but He's paid the price for it.
Amen.
He's paid the price for it. And every redeemed child's been paid for. And God is calling you this morning.
Amen.
And He's saying, come unto me, those that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll tell you, this door's open. You know, this door was once fenced up by sin. And it was fenced up by the law. And we know because of the sin that happened in the Garden of Eden. And we call it as end time believers original sin. And it is a key of the secret of opening the whole Bible. When you know the revelation on the key in Genesis. And we know in Genesis when God made Adam, He had no sin. And God took Eve from Adam, and there they were, and they were naked. And they didn't know they were naked. There was no sin. And God would come in the cool of the day and speak with them and commune with them. And what a fellowship they had, and what a beautiful paradise they had. What we know in Ezekiel, it says of the devil, thou hast been in Eden. Thou hast been in the garden of God. Thou hast been amongst the cherubuncles in the garden of God. And we know that Satan, wanting to be like God and wanting to impose himself, and he wanted to have a people. And he wanted to be worshipped and praised like God. So he came down in the garden, and the closest thing to the human being was a serpent. So he possessed that serpent, and the serpent got to Eve before Adam did, and he sowed his seed vicariously by the serpent. And it produced the hybrid crop, but it brought sin. And when God came down and saw what was done, Adam and Eve was banished from the garden, thrown out of the garden, and a curse came on humanity, and a curse came upon this earth. And the earth that never had a thorn, and the earth that never had a thistle, now bears thorns and now bears thistles, because God cursed it. And now they were naked, and they knew they were naked for the first time, because they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God made them clothes. We know He sacrificed, and He made them clothes, and He clothed them, but they never were clothed to this point. And from this point, every child is going to be born, is going to be born in sin and shaped in iniquity because of this fall. But thank God there was a second Adam. Amen. And the second Adam was not from the earth, earthly, but the second Adam was the Lord from glory, heavenly. Amen. And he wasn't made from the clay of the earth, but he come from the rampants of glory. And he came and he took upon him the form of a man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that his blood could be, the blood cell could be broken at Calvary, and the life of the blood of Jesus could be released. And the life of the blood of Jesus is the token life, which is the Holy Spirit. And it could come in every believer. So this way that was once fenced up by sin, and we heard a brother mention the law at the start, and God gave Moses a law. He should have asked for grace, but he asked for law. Nobody could keep the law. And every man that came failed to keep the law, but Jesus Christ absolutely fulfilled the law. He matched the law in every jot and tittle. He was the morning sacrifice. He was the evening sacrifice. He was absolutely exonerated and perfect. Because he could match it, he could take our place. For us to be redeemed, it would have to be a high form of life. An animal life could not redeem us, because an animal has no soul. But Jesus Christ came in the form of a man, and his life was the highest form of life, because the blood of God flowed within his veins. Supernatural blood for supernatural redemption. And because his life was the highest form of life, he could redeem us back. He could buy us back from the fall that happened in the garden, from the plans that the devil made. Jesus Christ made the way of escape. Amen. Though we were born in sin, and though we were shaped in iniquity, Jesus Christ made a way out for you and me. But we must accept it. Amen. We must accept it. It's of no use if we don't accept it. Let me read you from Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 down to 21. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him which was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one the condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men on the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedient many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto the eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see that Jesus opened up the way for us to come back to God. One man brought the sin, Adam, but another Adam came. The second Adam, the Lord from heaven. And he brought the deliverance. And all down through the Old Testament, what they had would never make them perfect. It was only a substitutionary work that lasted for a season. And when they brought their bullocks and their turtle doves and their pigeons and their lamb and they sacrificed it, they had to come the next year and offer it again and come the next year and offer it again because the animal had no life. When its blood was shed, it fell into the ground and it died. It congealed, it weathered up and it was gone. But 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus Christ shed his blood and it came streaming down the cross, it never congealed, it never dried up, it never died. Because it's supernatural blood, it's God's blood. And in that blood is every chemical and all the power of heaven to cleanse the sinner, to wash them and make them whiter than the snow. We often sing the song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And the blood of Jesus removes sin. It is a sin remover. The prophet of God calls it the bleach of the blood of Jesus. And he said, you imagine if you have a bucket of chloride bleach, and if you dropped one drop of ink into the bucket of bleach, you would no more see the ink. It would be absolutely annihilated because of the power of the bleach. And the blood of Jesus is like the bleach. It removes every stain. It removes every sin. And God looks at you and He doesn't see your sin and your iniquities, but He says, "Thy sins and thy iniquities will I see no more." But they're moved away as far as the east is from the west. God has removed them. But my friend, if you don't know the cleansing power of the blood, you're still living in sin. Everyone is a sinner, but those that have accepted Christ are sinners saved by grace. For by grace through faith are you saved, Ephesians 2, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. But God's grace is no good if you don't accept His grace. The free pardon must be accepted. But Christ opened up the way through bearing our sins and becoming obedient unto death. He didn't have to die. Original sin had no claim on Jesus. I want to stress this point. Original sin had a claim on every man, on every woman that was ever born. But original sin had no claim on Jesus. Because His birth was supernatural. The Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin Mary. God was His Father. He was supernaturally conceived via the Holy Spirit. And therefore He wasn't born the way me and you were born. There was no act that took place between a woman and a man, but it was supernatural, and therefore He was born sinless. And because He was born sinless, He could save you, and He could save me, but no other person could save you, or no other person could save me. That's why the Word of God said, there is only one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And His blood was a pure stream. Ours was corrupted. The whole race was corrupted. But God brought a pure stream. I preached a series of messages some time back called The Chemistry of the Blood. And when I studied in those messages, and we know that the life comes from the male, not the female. And you know, as I studied through it, and I studied, you know, where they have blood banks. And you can go and give your blood, and it's good. You can give your blood and donate your blood. And they will take your blood and they'll put your blood in a blood bank. But before your blood goes in a blood bank, they have to treat your blood. Because if they don't treat it, it won't last a week. It'll congeal and it's gone. It won't last. And every person has a specific type of blood. And I don't know that all the specifics, but there's certain numbers for Brother David here could be different from me. And he has to get somebody's the type that his is to match him. And the wrong type won't work. It must be the same type. And the blood must be treated and put in the blood bank and kept at a certain temperature. And then after a certain period of time, They must throw it out. It's no use. And then they have to get more blood. But Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago shed His blood at a blood bank called Calvary. And His blood matches every type. And His blood needs no additive to preserve it or to keep it. But it is kept for all time and it is kept for all eternity. And the prophet of God said that He saw the blood circling the whole earth. And then in Hebrews 9 says that the earthly things were sprinkled by the blood. So are the heavenly things sprinkled by a better sacrifice. Amen. By the blood of Jesus.
That's
right. So Jesus has entered heaven with His blood. So that He made a way for you to enter heaven. A way of escape from the path of sin. A way of escape from the judgment of God that's coming upon this whole world. And He did it because of His blood bank at Calvary. His blood will match the drunkard. His blood will match the prostitute. His blood will match the stealer. It will match the robber. It will match the liar. It will match any type. Because He says, He stands with His arms open and He says, whosoever will, let him come unto me. And He stands today as the great Savior of the world. But you must come. You open this way, it is a new and living way, consecrated, set apart for us. There's no back doors into the kingdom of God. You know, just when Noah built the ark, there was one door. You know, one of the greatest blessings about the ark Noah built, but Noah couldn't close the door. There's so many preachers today, and they're closing the door of mercy, and they've decided it's over. But they're not God. And God did not give that choice to Noah. Noah never closed the door. God did. And Noah was in the ark a long time before the door closed. How many knows that? The ark never moved for 7 days. And God closed the door. But there was only one door into the ark. And the elephant came from the jungle and the eagle came from the high mountains. And the oxen came from the green pastures. And they all came from all the different parts. But they entered through one door.
Right.
One door and only one.
Amen.
When God told Moses to build him a tabernacle in the wilderness. And we know when Moses built the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was a mighty structure. It was a massive structure. But there was only one door.
That's right.
One door. One door and only one. There was no door in the back. There was no door in the sides. He came in at the front door. And Jesus is the front door to the building. And you must come by Jesus. Jesus says, I am the door to the sheepfold.
Amen.
By me, ye may enter in and be saved.
Right.
No other way. We know the story in the Bible about the wedding. And a man climbed up another way and he entered in amongst the guests. And they saw he had no garment upon him. And they said, how did you come in having no garment? And they caught him, bound him, and threw him out.
Amen.
He had to come by the door.
Amen.
And when you come by the door, you come the right way. And you've got Jesus. You'll have the Holy Spirit. You'll have the garments when you come by the door.
Amen.
John 14 verse 6 tells us. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only door. I want to read you a quotation from Revelation chapter 4 message. A door, what is a door? Revelation 3:8. The third chapter, verse 8. I know thy works, behold, I've set before thee an open door that no man can shut it. And no man can open it. He is the door. The door. Christ is the door. St. John, I am the door to the sheepfold. And in the old country, you find that the shepherd runs in his sheep. After he counts them and sees they're all in, then he lays down right in the door. The wolf can't come in without waking up him. Or a sheep can't go out without coming over him. How safely the sheep feel because the shepherd's led in the door. Amen. And when you've got Christ, you've got the great shepherd that's at the door of your life. And when the enemy comes to trouble you and afflict you and bruise you, he has to pass the shepherd. You've got the shepherd. And if you decide you want to leave, you have to pass the shepherd.
That's right.
Thank God for the shepherd.
Amen.
Not only is he the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd.
Amen.
Not only is he the great shepherd, he's the chief shepherd.
Amen.
He's the good shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd.
Amen.
And he's coming again. Coming again for his children. For those that's ready, watching and waiting. For those that's heard the evening cry, the eagle cry, that have been awakened at midnight with a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And we've saw a super sign, we've heard a cry, that the voices went forth. The shepherd has spoken. And it's sheep gathering time. Sheep gathering time. And time to get ready to go. This way is a narrow way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Perhaps a gate on the sidewalk may be referred to here. Where even camels were sometimes dragged through after stripping them of everything. And man needs a stripping. Sometimes we need stripped off from the things of the world. You know, Jesus said that it was very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. As hard as it was for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And what that actually means in Jerusalem, when they close the door, they leave it opened enough that a man could pass through at night time. That's what an eye of a needle means. That the gate is open enough that somebody could slip through. But you can't slip through with your pack on your back. The camel can't slip through with his luggage on. But he must be stripped off. So that it's just him that he can squeeze through that tight opening. And God wants us to rid our lives of sin, of unbelief, of hypocrisy, of backbiting, of self-righteousness. The list goes on. And we have to leave it and come through that opening. We can't come through carrying it. We have to strip it off. And come through. And when we come to Jesus, we must come clean and clear. Clean and clear and straight. And we must leave our burdens at Calvary. We don't leave them and then pick them up again. We leave them on their left. We go on. Free. He's come to set you free. Matthew 19 verse 24 is the scripture I'm referring to. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know the little story when the man came to Jesus and he wanted to enter the kingdom of God, and Jesus said, don't commit adultery, and he gave him a list and he did it all. And he came back again and he said, I've did it all. And he said, yet thou lackest one thing. And he was very rich and he had great possessions. And he said, go sell all you have and come and follow me. And the Bible says that the young man went away sorrowful for his great riches. And he didn't want to give up his riches. Then the disciples said to Jesus, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? Who then can be saved? And Jesus said, that which is impossible with man is possible with God. And if you really are sincere and you really want to lay it down, look, you don't need the preacher to tell you the sins you're doing. You know what they are.
Right.
You know what they are.
Amen.
You know, I'm one of those preachers that I really believe that if it's something bad enough and God wants to probe it enough, he'll let the preacher know about it. I believe that. But you know the sins you have committed. When I was a sinner and away from God, I knew I was living in sin. I knew I was away from God. My conscience was pricked.
Amen.
If your conscience has been pricked this morning, you should thank God.
Amen.
There's a lot of people, their conscience never pricks them no more. And when your conscience pricks you no more, it's a sad state of affairs. Thank God for a conscience.
Amen.
It pricks us. And even as Christians, when we do things, the prophet said, if you can't take Jesus with you on a business deal or somewhere you're going, don't go.
Amen.
You must be able to take him with you.
Amen.
He must be the unseen guest at every meal, at every occasion. Amen. You must be fit to take him with you.
Amen.
And if you're doing something that you're guilty about, and you don't want nobody to see you, then you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Let me read you a little message from the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. See what a curse money is and riches. No wonder Jesus said, scarcely a rich man can enter the gates of heaven. Like the camel going through the eye of the needle. Has to unload his burdens and get on his knees and crawl under. He can get there, but he has to unload first. And maybe you've never really made the breakthrough, but you've tried to bring stuff with you. Maybe you've never really made the real decision, but you've tried to keep some of the past with you. You can never enter this way carrying the past with you. But you must leave it outside the gate.
Right.
You must unburden yourself and strip off from all the things of the world and enter in. And when you enter in, your cares will be gone. You'll be a new creature.
Amen.
You'll have a new mindset.
Right.
You'll now have the mind of Christ. The thoughts of Christ.
Amen.
Self-righteousness is not permitted. This gate is as narrow as a new birth. And the new birth is what people need today. God has no grandchildren.
Amen.
I have children of my own. I have sons. I have daughters. And they're coming to the age now they need an experience with God.
Amen.
Mine won't do for them. They need their own. They need to be born again.
Amen.
Of the Spirit of God. They need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They need their own experience. And you can train them, and it's good to do it. It's good to learn them all the things the Bible says to do it. But when we've did all that at the end of the road, and the end of the day, they need an experience like we did.
Amen.
They need a birth like we did.
Amen.
Or they'll never enter. It's a straight way. And the straightness is not with God, but it is in man's utter unfitness. And because of man's utter unfitness, he can't enter of his own works. But I want to say this, that this way be narrow. It leads to the large place. Though the entrance is narrow, it leads to the large place. The door on the ark was narrow, but it held all the animals when they got in. The door of the tabernacle was narrow, but it held all the implements, all the different things within it. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was all in there once they get in. But they had to get in first because Christ is the way. Justification, your first step. And once you take that first step, you can come to sanctification. You can come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, I often said you can't clean a fish till you catch a fish.
That's right.
You know that so many people want to clean a fish before they catch a fish. Well, what's the point to clean a fish if you haven't caught the fish? But once you catch the fish, you clean the fish. Then you can use the fish. And Jesus says, I'll make you fishers of men. Romans 3 verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None righteous. You cannot say, preacher, I've been good all week. The best you can show me, you'll still feel. You can't make it without the Lord. Amen. There's none righteous, no, not one. This way is the way of the few. Few there be that find it. It's the way of the few. You could read this parable in Luke 13, verse 23. Let's just read it for a moment. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and have shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drank in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Not souls that know to do it, but they never do it. Iniquity is something you know to do and you don't ever do it. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. So there's coming a day. We know there's coming a day. And Brother Branham said there's coming a day when we'll spurn mercy for the last time. Amen. How many knows a sermon well that he preached souls in prison now? Amen. And he saw beyond the curtain of time. And he saw into the regions of the lost. And he saw into the regions of the damned. And there's people already dead. Though they're living in this body, they're still dead. And the door of mercy is going to close. And we know it's near. It is near. And time is running out. The clock is striking midnight. Striking midnight. And an old preacher once preached, 30 seconds to go, what will you do? The clock's striking midnight. With just 30 seconds to go, what would you do if the clock was to strike midnight and it was all over? What would you do if you had 30 seconds to go? Then it could be too late. And these came to Jesus and they said, oh, but we're in the streets, we drank, we eat. And he said, I don't know you. And there's thousands on the sky televisions today that claim to be Christians. And they're doing wonderful works and miracles. Matthew chapter 7. But Jesus says, I don't know you. I don't know you. Because they don't have the token. God requires the token. Born again's experience of birth. God's requirements never change. But they're easy. It's easy to get. So easy people miss it. So easy people stumble over it. There's no price to pay. It's free.
Amen.
Because few there be that seek it. That's why they never find it. Seek and ye shall find. There are few on this road. Because many there be that shun it. Preferring the darkness to the light because their deeds are evil. Some put off, others hope to stumble into it by chance. But this is no chance work. Amen. Strive to enter. Ye shall find me when you seek with me with all your heart. Amen. You know, it's hard for you young ones to be a Christian. You know, years ago when I was a young man and preaching, I remember a young woman came to me and we used to do outreach. She was about 15 years old. And she said, Brother Tom, I'm ridiculed every day at school because I'm the only virgin in my class. And she was 15 years old. And all the other girls ridiculed her and all the other girls scorned her because she was a virgin. And I said to her, I said, you should cherish it. You should cherish it that you're pure, that you've kept yourself, and that then someday when a man marries you, he's getting the right one. And he'll never leave you. He'll want you and he'll keep you all his days. And I'll tell you, that young woman, I know her today. She's a grown woman. She's children. She's happily married. I see her often. But you see, we're living in such a pressure world that our children at school are told they have to sleep out, they have to take drugs, they have to take drink to make it. But I want to tell you, all those ways are the ways of death. Amen. And even if you've walked that path, and even if you've did all that, Jesus still loves you. That's the great mystery of it all. Even when we do all these things, he still says, I love you. I love you.
Amen.
Listen to me, you're looking at a preacher that was twice in jail. Of sinners whom I was chief. I talked to a man recently, and he was giving me some qualifications for a minister. May you want to see some of his qualifications. I said, brother, I would feel the qualifications you're showing me. But I said, what would you do with Paul?
Amen.
What about Paul's qualifications? Paul held the coat of those that stoned Stephen, but he was a prince of the preachers.
Amen.
I'll tell you, we're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
We're saved by God's grace.
Amen.
Now I know there's qualifications for the ministry, and I believe in those. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you as an individual, that Jesus Christ will take you regardless of where you've slept, regardless of what you've drunk, regardless of what drug you've put in your vein. Jesus Christ will accept you. He'll receive you. He'll deliver you. He will set you free.
Amen.
He came to seek and save that which was lost. The whole doesn't need a physician. But the one that's sick needs a physician.
Amen.
And Jesus is that great physician.
Amen.
The devil comes to steal, to rob, destroy. He's tricked young women. He's tricked young men. He's did all sorts. But Jesus can break his power. He can break his power. He can rescue you from the clutches of hell. From the hands of the devil. He can rescue you. One touch of the nail-scarred hand of the Master, you'll never be the same. I thank God for His mercy. This other way, and this is an awful way. Matthew 6:30c says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The first thing I want to say about this other way, I've told you about the right way, but I want just to, for a few moments, to tell you about this other way. It's a way of destruction. A way of destruction. Your sin will take you further than you want to go. I can guarantee you that. You know, many years ago when I started out and I was chumming with some fellows and they started to steal. We started out to steal a packet of cigarettes. And then we went from stealing a packet of cigarettes till we were stealing a car radio. And then it went from stealing the radio to stealing the wheels. And then it went from the wheels, we just took the whole car. And it just got bigger and bigger, and then it went from stealing at night time when the shops were closed till we went with a gun and a belly cover and stole when the shops were open. But it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the adrenaline was more and the risk was more. Until one day I wakened up in jail. And all my friends and all my pals were gone. And they never came to see me once. And there I was in jail, and I was weeping, and I was sorry for myself, and I was under such conviction. And God convicted me so much, I wanted to commit suicide. I wanted a way out. Maybe there's somebody here suicidal. That devil had better watch. I've got his number.
Amen.
And while I was in that place, a young man tried to kill himself. Then that devil came in me. And there I was feeling sorry. And there the Bible in there. And I started to read the Bible. Then they took the Bible out. Somebody wrote on the Bible. And I thought, Lord, what will you do now? There's no Bible. I'm suicidal. I'm in jail. None of my friends has come near me. I'd fallen out with my parents. I'd away from home. But I want to tell you about midnight. Somebody walked in. And they never opened the door to come in. But I want to tell you, 1989 in High Bank Jail, somebody walked in. And the prison warden never let them in. The door remained closed. And the footprints, I heard them as clear as day, and they walked over the floor, and a hand touched me on the shoulder, and a voice spoke to me, and broke the power of the devil with one word. With one word. Broke the power of the devil with one word. You know what the word was? I love you, and I give myself for you. Even though it's a filthy sinner, even though it's hell deserving, that voice says, I love you. And I gave myself for you. And just about the next night at the same time, he came again. And sister, he came every night for 10 nights. And he gave me the same message. I fell out of my bed onto my knees. And I cried to the Lord. And he heard me. And he delivered me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. The Lord heard my cry. The psalmist David said, I will look unto the hills when whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Ever before there was a hill, he knew God was there. Amen. I tell you, God delivered my soul. I come out of that jail a new person. A new person delivered by the power of God. No more stealing. No more telling lies. One of the first jobs I got, I had to work with money. And the fella said afterwards, he says, I tried him. I left plenty for him on the seat to see what he would do. And he says, never a penny went. He said, he saved all right. He's definitely saved. I'll tell you, when God saves you, he really does a job of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I want to tell you, I remember in my mother's house, locking the door, going up in the room, and waiting on the Lord till I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you, I'm not ashamed to say it, when I got the Holy Ghost, my parents knew it.
Amen.
Betty, the next door neighbor, knew it.
Amen.
The neighbors on the other side knew it.
Amen.
I'll tell you, everybody knew it.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
When you light a fire, you're going to know it. Because it'll produce heat.
Amen.
It'll produce heat.
Amen.
We don't need some picture. We need the real thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, this thing's real. God is real. The Holy Ghost's real. The power of God is real.
Amen.
This way is a way of destruction. And this word destruction means a loss. It is awfully significant. Is the loss of that which alone can save and satisfy. The devil wants to rob you of your victory. The devil wants to rob you of your salvation. He wants to rob you of your health. He wants to rob you of your blessing. I was preaching Wednesday night about family curses. And the Bible talks about cursings and blessings. But I want you to know that God can break every family curse in a moment. In a moment. He can break the witch's curse. He can break every spell. Just in a moment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see this way, this awful way? It is a loss of that which alone can save and satisfy. Like a watch losing its mainspring, won't tell the time no more. Like a plant that's no soil to grow in, it'll wither and die. That's what this way is like. It'll die from the roots. A man losing all his privileges and all his hopes. This is that way. This wrong way. It's also a broad way. It suits the carnal mind. There's plenty of room in this way for all the sinner's likes. The Bible says the pleasure of sin is pleasure in sin. Sure, there's pleasure in sin. Pleasure for a season. For a season. You can have a big time. You can enjoy it for a season. But what about the price to pay at the end? What about the price to pay at the end? The Bible says there's wages for sin. Those wages are death. Who doesn't want death's wages? I don't want death's wages. I want eternal life.
Amen.
It's broad enough for the staggering drunkard, for the dishonest, unclean, for the scoffer, for the proud, for the haughty, for the religious formalist. They're all in this way. But it's the wrong way. I'll tell you another thing about this way. It's a crowded way. Many go in thereat. It is easy to go downhill. Generally, man's first choice is the broad way. The heart of man's deceitfully wicked. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. Above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I want you to read you something Brother Branham says about going the wrong way and the easy way. A man running from the presence of God. Paragraph 78. It's easy to go the way the world goes. It's easy to flow down the stream. Go out there and sit down in the river with your boat. You get your oars and start pulling up against the current. You don't make much time. And it goes hard. But you just once let loose the oars. And watch how fast you pass the trees going down. But look where you're going. When things are floating easy, remember you're going towards a great cataract down there of some sort. You're going towards the falls. And it won't be long. You'll be going over the falls, just floating with the world, easy, the way it goes. You don't want that, no sir. You don't want it. But you've got a responsibility. And you know, everybody knows about the salmon. And you know the salmon is a wonderful fish. And when the salmon, when it comes a certain time every season, when they want to spawn and repopulate, there's something within the salmon that turns the salmon to go back to its destination. And when the salmon, this clicks within it, and it turns to go back to its destination, it'll go up the waterfalls. You won't see it coming down the waterfalls. It will go up the waterfalls. It will go against the current because there is a deep calling to the deep within it, taking it back to its destination. And when God begins to work upon you, and when God begins to call upon you, and the Holy Spirit begins to tug upon you, there's a deep that is calling to the deep. And there's something within you that wants to bring you back to your destination. And you always were in God. And you're going to go back to God. And the Holy Spirit's calling you back into the Father's bosom. And the Holy Spirit's bringing you back because of the deep calling to the deep. But you have a responsibility. You must respond to the call. You must obey the call. And respond to God's call. Man prefers the pleasure to sin to the fellowship of God. Some are being pushed along in the crowd without any serious thought. And are without God and without hope. Young person, are you following your friends? I followed my friends. I ended up in jail. One of my friends was killed in a murder bike. So many of my friends are dead. They're in the grave. You know, when God took to deal with me, spoke to me from Isaiah verse 1, chapter 1, verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. But you know what he said in verse 19? If you be willing and eat, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land.
Amen.
But if you refuse, you'll be cut off. God gives you a choice. What choice will you make? But what about my friends? What about them? They will laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out of it. Your friends will talk you into drugs. They'll talk you into drink to where you'll ruin your body, you'll ruin your mind, you'll ruin everything about you. But they won't fix you. When you're lying in the hospital and you're dying, they won't recover you. They won't fix you. But there's only one recoverer. His name's Jesus. He can recover you. He can heal you. He's the only one can do it. He's the great physician. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I'm addicted. There was things I was addicted to. If I wrote them in this wall, I'd been so embarrassed, I'd walk out. But I was addicted. There was things I was addicted to. I could never overcome them. They overcame me day after day, time after time. But when the Holy Spirit came, He delivered me. He broke the addiction. He canceled the sin. He canceled the power of the enemy. Hallelujah! Amen. I'll tell you, He can break the power of addiction. He can set you free in a moment. Quicker than you can bat your eye. Quicker than you can click your fingers. I'll tell you, while I'm even preaching these words, hear me this morning because I'm really serious. While I'm speaking these words, God can deliver people now. The power of the devil can be broken off them now. That's how God works. I preached in Wales on Easter. And I was preaching on healing. And I showed from the scriptures that sickness is from the devil. God doesn't put sickness on His children. Oh, but sometimes it's God. Yes, but go back and see why. Because you did something you shouldn't have did. But if you fix it, He'll take it off you. Hallelujah. And I preached it and I said, God can heal you. Even before I pray for you. Because there's power in the Word. The spoken Word is power. The spoken Word is power. Power within it. Jesus spoke the Word. And He overcome the enemy. And while I preached the sermon, there was a man testified afterwards. And he said he was sitting at the bank. He could never move his arm. The doctors told him he had arthritis. He could never move his arm up. His shoulder was so bad. And he said something spoke to him. And said, listen to the scriptures he's reading. And obey them. And you'll be healed. And as he listened to the word of God. And his arm just popped up. And he was healed. And he was healed. Amen. And I'll tell you, he was rejoicing. I went back several months later and he was still healed. Amen. When the Lord saves you, you'll be saved. If I don't come here, if the Lord didn't come for a year, and I don't see you for a year, you'll still be saved. Because the Lord saves you, He'll really save you. Amen. I'm going to have to come to close. This is the last thing I want to mention. It's a fatal way. A fatal way. There's been only one possible end to this way, destruction. The road you're going is a road of destruction. As sure as a stone sinks to the bottom of the ocean, so will this end be. Sure as it sinks, will a man perish who loves and follows sin? We know in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We know in Ezekiel 31:11, have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. Have driven him out for his wickedness. God doesn't like sin. Jeremiah, and I'm finished with this, Jeremiah 21:8. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And we're preaching the two ways. And I'm leaving you with this thought. Choose the way of life. Amen. Choose the way of life. Amen. Don't you worry about your friends. You know, there's an old preacher preached a sermon 50 years ago about a man called Isidore McGrindle. He preached a sermon about Isidore McGrindle. And he preached about winners never quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. And quitters never win. Choose the right way of the day. Let's come and bow our heads. Maybe the musicians could come. Maybe they could play that softly, Only Believe. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing at a time, brother, before we pray. Only Believe. Thank you, Jesus.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment. Is there someone here today and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Lord has spoke to you in this service. If you're here today and you would say, Preacher, I will receive Christ, will you lift your hand up to the Lord? If there's anyone today, just raise your hand up before the Lord. The Lord bless you. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. I want you to pray for your standing. I want you to ask Jesus into your heart. I want you to say for your standing, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I receive you now as my Savior. I receive you now as my Lord. Forgive me every sin. Forgive my every stain. Wash me in your precious blood. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. You pray that. You pray it. You believe it. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. I'm going to ask those that need a touch from the Lord. I'm going to pray for you quickly. I'm just going to touch you and pray. And God will heal you. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, the shall recover. If the pastor could come, and those that want prayed for, the brothers play, you come to the front, and even if you want salvation or whatever you want, you come. And God will touch you. Praise God as you come.
Only believe.
All come to a time of prayer. You know, the scripture says, strive to enter therein. The Bible says that the kingdom of God has been preached, but men press into it. Now, for us to receive any promise of God, for us to overcome, for us to possess our inheritance, it's not just handed on a plate. The price has been paid. Jesus paid for it with his precious blood. But footsteps means possession. You've got to place your foot by faith. You've got to stand against the resistance. You've got to resist that resistance. And you've got to claim that which is purchased for you. So why don't we all just enter into a time of prayer now to seek his face. And that oppression, that depression, those lies of the devil, that sickness, whatever it would be holding you back from the fullness of what Christ purchased for you on the cross, why not stand against that thing upon this day? Why not do what the scripture says and resist the devil and he will flee from you? Why not rise up in faith, lay hold of the promises of God, stand your ground, take out your sword and possess that upon this day. Let's all enter into a time of prayer. Let's seek his face. Heavenly Father, Lord, each and every one of us would desire to come unto thee upon this day. Because you know, Lord, that you've called us by your grace, Father, to take out the sword. Father, you've called us by your grace, Lord Jesus, to put up the shield. Father, you've called us by your grace, Lord, to go forth in your precious name. And Father, upon this day, we come, Lord, in your precious name. Father, we come, Lord, Father, clothed in the armor of all that the enemy would endeavor to do, Lord. Just grant us grace and grant us mercy, Lord, as I would look unto thee, as I'd want to wait upon thee, Lord, to call upon thee, to bring it all before thee, Lord. And just to wait upon thee, Heavenly Father, at this time and upon this day, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Yes, Lord.
Faith in the Father and faith in the Son. Faith in the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Oh, demons will tremble and sinners awake and faith in Jehovah gives everything shield. Faith in the Father. Faith in the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Oh, demons will tremble and sinners awake and faith in Jehovah makes everything shake. Faith in the Father. Will tremble and sinners away they faith in Jehovah makes everything.
Let's use a biblical scriptural pattern for deliverance right now. As we'd come to a close, let's sing that song, I'm a pilgrim, I'm a stranger. Let's do like the children of Israel around the walls of Jericho. Let's just worship the walls down. Let's just praise the Lord. Doesn't matter how you feel. Feelings have got nothing to do with it. Fight against your feelings. Press against the resistance. Just enter into praise, enter into worship, and put your faith and confidence with Him. Because by just worshiping the Lord, in obedience to His word, the Lord went and fought their battles. The Lord brought down the walls that they couldn't bring down. It wasn't human power. It wasn't the tactics of man. It was the simplicity of worshiping God. That's all that it was that changed the situation. So I would say to those people that haven't entered into worship yet, you find there's something trying to hold you back. Why not press in now? Press in like the woman who pressed in and touched His garment. Press in and receive that virtue and worship Him. And the Bible says, put on the garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness will flee away from you. So let's sing that song. Let's enter into worship. Really do appreciate the word today. May the Lord continue as He always does to back up His word. That's what we desire.
And a stranger wandering through this world of sin, on my way to Thy visit, when the saints go marching,
oh, when the saints,
when the saints go marching in,
oh,
when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching in. Oh, oh, I know I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Heaven's doors will open for me when the saints go marching.
Oh, when the saints,
when the saints go marching.
Oh, when the saints,
when the saints,
oh,
go marching. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching. When we gather around the throne and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting glory, glory when the saints go marching.
Oh, when the saints,
when the saints
go marching.
Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching.
No,
I am waiting for the chariot to swing low and I'll step in. On the clouds I'll rise to heaven when the saints go marching. When the saints go marching,
oh, when the saints,
when the saints,
oh, when the saints
go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching in.
Amen. Let's sing one more. Brothers have one for us there. Let's sing one more. A request here from Dion. She's asking, please pray for her friend Sarah. She's got cancer and she's only 17 years old. Friends, that's never the will of God. That is the devil. It really is. I don't know what type it is, but please keep her in prayer. And please pray for my uncle Prosper for his epilepsy. And we know that also is the power of the enemy. So let's pray for those two as we close in prayer.
To follow Jesus,
have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me.
Oh, the cross before me, the world behind me.
The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning. Decided to follow Jesus.
I am decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's bow our heads. We'll ask Brother Max if you wouldn't mind coming to close for us in prayer. That's one decision you'll never regret. I have decided to follow Jesus. I've never seen a person who did that genuinely who ever regretted that decision. It brings such a change, like Brother Tom was saying, in your life. And the change can be so instantaneous that you pass from death to life. You pass from bondage to liberty. But you've got to seek Him with all your heart. You've got to just throw yourself at the feet of His mercy and say, Jesus, I believe. I receive. I accept it. And what a change that it makes. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
The world is behind us.
The world behind us. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Oh, dear Heavenly Father. We have made a decision.
Yes.
Because you called us Lord.
Amen.
And Father, we have responded.
Amen.
Lord, we have taken the decision to follow you.
Yes.
No matter, Lord, what the world will say. Father, we have made a decision.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you that this morning we came to your house. Father, we knew that, Lord, you called us to God. And when we came, Lord, we found bread on the table.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for the message that has come.
Yes.
Lord, we know they are words of life, O God.
Amen.
And Father, we have accepted, O God, your word this morning.
Amen.
Lord, our prayer that, O God, we will not be only hearers, Lord.
Amen.
That these words of life that we have heard, O God, will be part of our life, O Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, O God, that you came, O Lord, purposely for your children. And Lord, you come to gather us, Lord. And Father, we say, here we are, O God.
Amen.
Lord, let your life, O God, be part of our life, O Lord.
Amen.
And what the Lord Jesus, you have planned, O God, even before the foundation of the world for your children, O God. We say, Lord, here we are, O Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the blessing for this day, O Lord.
Amen.
Even with this request, O God, that are before us.
Amen.
Lord, already we have heard a testimony.
Amen.
What you have done, O God.
Amen.
And we know you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And Lord Jesus, when you were on earth here, or even now sickness can ever, oh Lord, you never healed. Father, we know that you are that same God. Lord, here is a faith that has come, oh, to you this morning. The Lord, there is a sister who is sick with this devil disease cancer.
Amen.
Lord, we know whom we have. We are serving, oh God. And your prophet that you sent to God, you said that even cancer can never stand before him.
Amen.
Lord, everywhere we hear cancer, everywhere we hear cancer, but we know that we have a healer. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we raise our sister's faith that he brought this request of God, that Lord, have faith and our faith, and Lord, your healing power would this hour, Lord, heal our sister in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, cancer, we come against you. The blood of Jesus Christ, oh, has healed our sister in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, and who are you, epilepsy? Oh, in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus Christ has already healed our brother. In Jesus' name. Father, this day we claim the healing. Even from the message that has come. Oh Lord, we believe it, oh God. That your word, Lord, it is power. Your word is healing. So Lord, this morning, we have claimed every possession. In the name of Jesus Christ. And we are living here with joy. We are living here believing that, Lord, you have done it. Because that day when you said it was finished, Lord, by your stripes we were healed. And we hold that faith, Lord. And we claim them in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for our precious brother Tommy. Oh, Lord, that you have used him mightily today. Oh, Lord, we commit it into your hands.
Amen.
Oh, his ministry has been so powerful, oh God.
Amen.
It is your work that, Lord Jesus, he had dedicated himself, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we pray that, Lord, you continue to use him, oh Lord.
Amen.
Oh, for your children, for the kingdom, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray that the virtue that has gone out, oh yes, you are the one, oh, that replenishes. Lord, let it be overflowing.
Amen.
Oh, let me press together, shaking together. Oh, Lord Jesus, strengthen him, oh Lord. Renew him once more, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Father, even as we live here, oh Lord, we know we are living with your word, oh God. We are not living in your presence. What you have fed us with today, oh Lord. Father, we thank you. We are living with it, oh God. Father, bless our footsteps, Lord. As many that will be traveling, Father, we commit their journeys, Lord, into your hands. Oh, our precious brother going back to North Ireland, Father,
yes,
we pray for journey mercies.
Amen.
And the family, Lord, Father,
Amen.
Bless them, oh God.
Amen.
Bless your children.
Amen.
Bless your church.
Amen.
Bless our pastor.
Yes.
Bless the musicians.
Amen.
Bless the officers.
Amen.
Bless the children.
Amen.
Bless each and everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, may the whole saints say, Amen. Oh, thank
Amen.
You, Lord. In
Amen.
Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We receive the blessing.
Amen.
Just to keep a few people in prayer, please. Brother Francois is preaching for Brother George Quinn this morning, so please pray for him. He's coming back this afternoon. Brother Vergus and family will be going away for the month for holiday this week. I think end of the week, pray for them as well. Sister Vida as well, she's going to Lithuania for the summer. So she's not well today, so if you please remember her in prayer as well. And the saints that are coming back, I think Brother George travels back this week, so if you remember him. Brother James was sending greetings from St. Petersburg this morning. He's saying, please greet the saints there in Russia, him and Sister Olga. So they were asking to pass on greetings to the saints. Let's sing one as we dismiss. Thanks, Brother Tom. Do appreciate it very much. God bless you.
Coming home.
Sin, too long I've drawn.
Trust thy love.